Thank you. This is Bill Crozier. I'm chair of the PNB Governance Committee, calling the meeting to order. It's 7:39 p.m. Central Time, Wednesday, August 28th, 2016. Aki, can you call the roll for us, please?
Sure. Okay. So Aki is here. And then Bill Crozier?
Here.
Donald Goldmacher? Okay. Irene Lawson?
Here.
Irene is here. Gary Boost. Okay. Grace Allen?
Here.
Grace is here. James Sagerton?
Here.
James is here. King Downing? Okay. Bruce Wolf?
Lewis Wolf here.
Bruce is here. Michael Adler?
Michael Adler is present.
Michael is here. Michael White? Okay. Michael Novick? Okay. Noni Session?
Here.
Noni is here. Okay. Rick Potoff? Okay. Denisha Patel Adams? Okay. So we have eight people. So we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I sent out the agenda. I think you all should have gotten it with the automatic meeting notification, too. I'll read it for the stream. A draft agenda, call to order, and roll call, which we just did. Approve agenda, which we're about to do. Number four, approve minutes of the July 24th committee meeting for 5 minutes. Number five, working group report on organization of and access to Pacifica files and documents for 20 minutes.
Michael, I guess I'm late.
Hi, Michael. Okay. Number six, we're reviewing the agenda. Review governance-related problems and proposed solutions for 20 minutes. And let's see. Number seven, status of email list for the committee for 10 minutes. Number eight, new business for 15 minutes. Number nine, review action items for 5 minutes. And number 10, confirm the next meeting date and time. And note that we do need to change that because there's another meeting, another committee's meeting on the fourth Wednesday of September. And 11 adjourned by 10 p.m. That should be Eastern time. I think it says Central time in the what I sent out. So any changes to the agenda? Do I hear a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Okay, James and Aki. All right. Any objections? Okay, hearing none, then the agenda is approved, as I read. So read it.
Who signed on? I thought somebody signed on.
Was that Michael Libick? While I was going through the agenda, who joined the call?
Yes.
Okay.
Novick, N-O-V-I-C-K.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Welcome. Okay, next item on the agenda, number four, is approved minutes of the July 24th committee meeting. I don't remember, did somebody send those out?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I
sent it to everybody. Yeah.
And when was that?
Let me find out here. When was that?
I believe it was sent Tuesday 8:20 at 8:39 a.m. my time Pacific.
Right.
The 7:20 meeting.
I think I do remember seeing those last week.
They sent it at August 28th at 8:38 Pacific time.
August 28th? Or
20th.
August 20th.
20th, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any corrections or to the agenda? I mean, to the minutes?
Nope.
Okay. Hearing none, then the minutes are approved. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Aki. Let's see, next. Working group report on organization of and access to Pacifica files and documents. So I know Eileen.
Can you push me back one agenda point? I'm just getting home. I'm out in the street and it's hectic.
Okay.
Can you push me back one? Thank you.
Okay, well, maybe Michael can start filling in on that.
We've got a couple of challenges, and I don't have the notes. Unfortunately, I'm not really prepared to talk too much about this, but I think, you know, there are several issues. One is defining what the documents are. Another is how we are going to set them up, what the common repository will be. And I think Eileen can probably add a little bit more on that when she comes back. But, you know, there are a couple of retention schedules that are floating out there, which are a start for what the documents are. And we know that the most important things we need to get together are you know, what those are, including the minutes, the Pacific Board minutes and the audit committee meeting minutes, and as well as you know, all the corporate formation documents.
Okay. Enough for it. Aki was in that meeting too. Did you need to add?
Okay,
Aki?
I'm just about home. Oh, go ahead, Aki.
Oh. One thing that I got out of that presentation that I thought was good was that as long as the documents are up on all of the database, that I think that you can, I guess, others can write a script where they can get all of the years' worth of documents and put into a single, like a zip file, as long as the document exists. Is that right, others? Well, is that the understanding that you had, Irene or Michael?
Yes. And in fact, I discussed I wrote a brief definition of this that I'll go over with others just to make sure that this is something that's doable. And we talked about how we might be able to gather all of the minutes for a given committee for a given date range. But Grace had a thought that maybe they should just be put in some place when they get uploaded. So, you know, we need to talk with Otis a little bit to see what the easiest thing to do would be.
Right.
There are many ways to skin this cat. But I did write a brief script that I'll share with Otis and to see if this is an easy thing to do or somewhat cumbersome thing, and then we need to talk amongst us to make sure that the functionality is what we're looking for.
Okay, thank you. And I believe Grace was also in the group, and
yeah.
Eileen, whenever you're ready.
I am. I'm now home. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody mentioned that yesterday morning we got a tour of the back end of our setup of the Pacifica, Pacifica servers and where all the information is stored at this time. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting to see how it worked because, you know, we've been talking about organizing these documents, but we don't want to make parallel systems or make a lot of extra work for people. You know, we needed to see what was there already and how it works. So we're looking at different options. But like I guess Michael Adler mentioned, you know, we're looking at, of course, the meeting minutes because we have to present those to the auditors and every year, and that's one thing. And the open meeting minutes, you know, are accessible to everybody. But the closed meeting minutes, you know, how can we have those accessible to people who need to see them, like, the auditors, but not to the general public. And then figuring out what else, you know, manuals, the employee manual, the health insurance plan, you know, things that people can consult if they need to, if they're employees of Pacifica, and then all kinds of other things, you know, whatever you think of, really, that people would find useful and interesting. We also, I think Otis did caution us, though, Otis and John, that we might not want to be too ambitious at the beginning because we can't really expect people throughout Pacifica to take on all these sort of, I don't want to say clerical duties, but something like that, you know, figuring out, following all the rules of how to name their files and where to put them and when to put them places. You know, we can't expect that it would be a great, you know, that everybody could do everything. Does that make sense? So we're working on it, but we're getting somewhere. So right now we're kind of reviewing what's out there and what our options are, and then we'll start implementing it. So we'll let you know.
Okay, great. Thanks. Who else has anything to add about that?
This is Aki.
Okay, Aki.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, reiterate that the three committees, the T&D, Finance, and Audit, they should be posting, and we should tell the secretaries of each of those committees, if they don't know how to do it, to start posting, because those are critical committees.
Right. Okay. Good point. And that includes me. I'm behind on posting minutes for the PNB. So, let's see. Oh, Grace, did you have anything to add?
I think everybody covered it pretty much. Just I think that there should be a drop down on the Pacifica.org website that has a list of all the minutes, let's say, of the national board listed by date with, you know, a link to the minutes so that it's easily accessible, so that you just can click once and see all the minutes for the last 5 years or whatever in date of order. And then if there are corrections or whatever, that can just be, when they're uploaded, they can be put in there in date order. In other words, if there's like three separate versions of minutes for January 45th, 2017, you know, they'd all be there in date order, and you could say, oh, well, this is corrected and this is amended, blah, blah, blah. You know, in other words, it doesn't have to be sorted out. The user can sort it out. And I think that there should be also equally easy way to get for authorized individuals to get closed session minutes. And especially it should be for the key committees, the PNB, the Finance Committee, the Audit Committee, and possibly the Personnel Committee, and so that they're easily accessible within a minute or two for the auditor and for the public. And that's what I would like to see, a drop-down on the Pacifica.org website, and then a separate way to access it by authorized individuals who are allowed to see closed session minutes.
So this is James. Okay. James with a question.
Yeah, James?
I'm just curious about people authorized to see closed session minutes. Would there be a way to... I mean, I guess just a general question. Are current board members allowed to see closed sessions from previous meetings when they weren't board members? And if not, we would have to have a mechanism for those authorizations to see, to get to them would have to expire when members were no longer members. Is that how that would work?
Okay, to respond, because board members have access to everything according to California Corporation Code and the rights of directors to do directors' inspections, mm-hmm. they should be able to view past closed session minutes if they desire to. So
I link to the stack.
That would be my okay. my thing. But at least the open session minutes should be visible, should be in one place. Because right now, if I want to find the open session minutes, I have to figure out what, you know, it's a little bit complicated to access them.
Right. Try to make it easier.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Eileen?
I just wanted to mention that right now, to access those closed minutes, I think you can only access documents or minutes from a committee in which you were on that committee. In other words, if you only came on a committee in 2019, you wouldn't be able to see 2018 documents or minutes, something like that. That's it.
Right. And so we'll need to probably adjust that. And like
James, again,
as we mentioned earlier, we need to work with Otis to make sure it's something easy, and I'm not sure what his timetable is because he has a lot of things to do too. Yeah, James?
Yeah, and then would there be some, the second part of my question was, would there be some mechanism for that authorization to access expire when a person was no longer a member?
Yeah, there should be.
That is under consideration.
Session.
There should be, but not sure yet how it all works. That's part of why we wanted that tour of Otis's system yesterday, to start getting an idea of how it works. And I'll mention something that, you know, Otis and John pointed out, which is that it's been very secure. So they've got it locked up, so, you know, we're in good shape in terms of anybody being able to get in there and do anything or steal anything from our system. And so, you know, there may be a trade-off at some point. We'll see. So the answer to that, James, is that we don't know yet how that'll work, but it should. It has to.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let me mention also, there's a wiki, which actually hasn't ever been used, but it's set up on pacifica.org, and something that we're going to play with a little bit to see if maybe we can get a few volunteers to help populate information there for public information, so staff doesn't have to do it all. Maybe we can, you know, documents that need to be available, they're all in one spot, then maybe we can put them there. But we need to figure out how to organize it and make it easy to find things. I'll also mention that NETA, NETA is, you know, they've been scanning a lot of documents, paper documents from the national office, and most of those are not public. Most of them are for national office use, and so they're working on a system for that. But, you know, everything from contracts and personnel files and insurance policies and, you know, various other things that the national office has that need to be kept. Any
James
questions?
Again. Yeah, James
comments?
Again.
Yeah. Okay, James.
Unless somebody who hasn't spoken yet has another question.
I don't hear anybody now, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm sure Otis and others know how to do this, but of course Eileen was sort of intimating that if we open it up for access to people, the secure lockdown system that they've got now would be open to possible compromise. But I'm sure, I hope they would know how to, you know, back all of that up and keep, you know, keep a safe copy, so to speak, in a vault, you know, a digital vault, so that that would always be there for audits and FCC and whatever.
Right. And they already have backup. You know, backups, but you're right, especially with this. And Otis is very well of the need and how to make stuff secure. So
I'm sure.
We also have Jonathan Alexander, you know, who's at KPFK, but he's also with the national office staff, and he really knows network and computer security really well as well.
Great. Thank you.
And Jonathan Amila. John Amila, too. Other questions or comments about any of this? Okay, thanks, and I want to thank Otis for giving us the tour and spending the time to show everybody some of the capabilities and talk about options or how we can make it more accessible. Should we move on to the next item? Number six, review governance-related problems and propose solutions. There's a link in the, on the agenda to a shared Google Doc that I where I've been collecting this stuff for the last few months and putting it there. And Grace sent me some more stuff today. I haven't had a chance to put that up because I was over at KPFT for a meeting this afternoon. And if anybody's listening on the stream or archives, it's also in the agenda that's posted for this meeting. So you can find it there. So comments, anybody?
Yeah, this is Grace.
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
I question the assumptions behind some of the concepts about bylaws changes. There's no given that smaller boards would increase the functioning, the positive functioning of our governance, nor have we explored the ramifications of making the board smaller. If we made the board smaller, the as can be seen from our LSB elections, the older and people, or people who have spent more time on the, our boards, our local boards, tend to get reelected. And so if the boards were made smaller, it would age our boards and it would mitigate against bringing in younger, possibly, or newer people with less experience, and we would be left with an aging board and the less of an ability to nurture and to apprentice newer board members so that they could the torch could be passed to them. The other thing is I question the concept that these boards are fundraising boards. They're not. Our board structure is that we are governance boards. I can understand where fundraising may be the primary focus, possibly that may make more sense at the smaller stations. It doesn't make that much sense on the national level or at the larger stations, as far as I can tell. It also would eventually, if the main focus, in my opinion, is fundraising, it will mean that richer and richer people will become board members and will be cherished and prized as being good board members, in quotes, because richer people have more access to other rich people and can more easily do fundraising. So I think that it's not a good idea to have the primary purpose of our boards be fundraising. I think they are meant to be governing boards and to ensure that the Pacifica mission is implemented at our stations, because I don't know, anyway, that's it for now. I question the assumptions behind the benefit of shrinking the boards, and I would like to know what the ramifications would be and who would do all the work that we're currently doing. Of course, ultimately, if we have better management and more resources, the boards would have less to do. But that's not the case at the moment. We have a lot of work to do, and in the foreseeable future, there will still continue to be more work that the boards need to do. And having that work be done by fewer people, when we're already, the people who are doing the lion's share of the work are very overtaxed, I don't think that limiting the board resources, other people who could help us, would be a good idea.
Okay. Other comments? Anybody who wants to talk about specifics on that list, we could do that too. Don't everybody talk at once. Well, I do know, I'll just respond a little bit briefly, Grace said, I know a number of people have mentioned this, suggested that the boards are too big and that leads to dysfunction. And yeah, I understand what Grace is saying about how if only a fraction of the people on our boards are actually doing most of the work, and I think that's correct, including the national board, then what do we do if we make this board smaller? I guess I don't agree that it's a fixed percentage or relatively fixed percentage of people on the boards that do the work. I think it has to do with how we recruit people. And so much of the time it seems like we have to recruit people just to fill the seats, and then people who are we have so many candidates to vote from because of all the seats that I think a lot of the people voting may not even be able to take the time to read all the candidate statements. So that's kind of a concern, too. But I see what you're talking about. We certainly need people who can help. Yeah, Michael, go ahead. Michael, Ed.
This is Michael Novick, yeah, from KPFK.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had introduced, the last time I was on the TNB, introduced a amendment to shift the elections to every other year rather than two out of three, partly as a fiscal measure to save money because it would reduce the number of elections total, and partly to give people actually a slightly longer term. If you had basically a four-year term and shift, you know, half the board, this is talking about the LSBs, half the board. So I'd be interested in trying to revive that idea or talk about it at some point. I don't think I saw it on your list of problems and solutions, but I think that is a potential solution to a couple of problems. It will give people a little more chance to get more effective on the board and a little bit more duration if they were effective.
And would the also, terms be 4 years? Or
yeah, it'll be 4 year terms, staggered if elections staggered every 2 years instead of a 3 year term and elections two out of three.
Okay.
This is Aki.
Yeah, go ahead, Aki.
Yeah, I was on the TNB in 2017, and I've been on the local board for a while. But one thing that I don't know how to get a handle on it, but listen to the meetings, especially in 2017 and the early part, the dysfunction happens, a lot of the disruptions that goes in the meeting. And I was wondering if there's any way in the bylaws to sort of stipulate how much disruptions or dysfunction can occur within a meeting, like even within the time limit. You cannot spend 1 hour on agenda approval, for instance. But that has happened many a time. So I was just wondering, I sort of understand what Grace says about the number of people not being particularly be the disruptor, but there is people who are affected by disrupting meetings. So I was wondering if there's any way, mechanism to regulate that.
Can I respond to that?
Okay, Grace.
Check anyway.
I want to just announce that I'm here.
Okay.
Who's that?
This is V. Patel Adams.
Actually, Aki, I think that it's been the lack of willingness to some degree of the boards to really apply Robert's Rules of Order. If a member is disruptive, it is the right and duty of other board members to call them out of order and to stop them from wasting the board's time. And so there are lots of things in Robert's Rules of Order that can and should be applied that were not applied in the past. Dilatory motions, things like that, should not be tolerated. Dilatory requests for information, if a person, and the board can, any board at any time per Robert's Rules can make a special rule. So, for instance, somebody can just make a motion and say, I want to have a standing rule that nobody is allowed to ask for more than two requests for information per meeting. A standing rule that no point of order shall be brought up except as it specifically pertains to the agenda item that is being considered, or that points of order will be voted, the chair will make a ruling and the point of order will be voted on up or down without discussion. All of those could be special rules that are adopted by the National Board. It doesn't need a bylaws amendment. There are lots of things that can be done using Robert's rules. We've used Maestro, the Maestro system, beneficially to mute people who were refusing to get an order, and that's worked pretty well as long as the board agrees to it. So I think that we just have to be more diligent in our application and less shy and more courageous and not try to be polite and bend over backwards to allow disruptors to continue to make our meetings awful. So
okay, Michael.
That's what I think. I mean, it's just there are the tools in Robert's rules to do these things. They need to be used.
Michael Novick, okay. Is back again.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I was on the board. I don't know if it was the year that some of the disruptions happened, and was one of the people who recommended looking into Maestro Conference as a way to deal with some of it. But a lot of the disruption that year was coming from people who were not on the board at all and were given the call-in numbers and started calling in and playing with their phones and sending weird signals and disrupted two or three meetings in a row. So that year I had to be a sergeant at arms, and we had to call out to everyone and not have a call-in number. It was so bad. So I think it's improved from that.
Others who haven't spoken? Yeah.
James for the stack.
Okay, James.
I also, it's another item on the list, but at least at WBAI, some of the disruptions that we get at our meetings come from, not unlike the National Board, I guess, a particular group of people. And one of the ways that those people sometimes get on the board is the method that we use to fill vacancies. So when we get to that part of the discussion, I think possibly, I know Grace, we've had discussions about this, and I don't think she agreed with my thinking on that, but in the discussion, maybe we can arrive at some way to better replace vacancies, fill vacancies rather, that would put people on the board that have more support from the membership.
Well, if you want to mention that now, if you have a specific in mind, go ahead.
Well, I think it was it was mentioned in the list of the enumeration, the discussion of bylaws amendments that you sent around. I think there's one proposal that I'm aware of, and that would be to have the board, if people either have the board select runners up, period, so that you'll have people that actually had enough support from the membership to be making that decision, rather than have people that got, you know, one or five or ten votes coming on the board. And the other would be to limit people below a certain threshold, like take people who are runners-up if they pass a certain threshold of votes. And I guess that might have to be fluctuate from different between different elections. But put a threshold on how many votes a person may have. And if there's no runner-up that meets that threshold, then go to a board-selected member.
Okay, and you're talking about LSPs, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
This is Grace with a very short personal privilege
okay, Grace.
Comment. Right. I totally agree with that, James. In fact, I believe I wrote a bylaws amendment, but there was another one written by, what's his name, David Ochoa. That was pretty good regarding this. But anyway, there have been several. It just needs to be worded properly so that there is a certain threshold met, some sort of calculation. And then after that, the remaining alternates are just disqualified. So I agree with that. Because the members are basically saying by not giving very many votes to certain candidates that they really don't want them on the board. It's kind of a negative vote below a certain threshold.
This is Aki to this set.
Okay. Aki, go ahead.
Yeah, this is another one of those things that I also wrote about quite a while ago, that, you know, even the bylaws is fairly clear that in order to be eligible to be an alternate, that you had to have the 15 nomination signature. And I made the argument that if you get 15 write-in votes, that qualifies as a 15 nomination signature, because when you do a write-in vote, you know, you put the person's name on a ballot that uniquely identifies the voter. So you're actually nominating the write-in candidate before you actually put you vote for the candidate. So 15 write-in votes should be, you know, equivalent to the 15 nomination signature, and that could be a threshold.
Okay. Other comments? And if anyone wants to talk about any of these things on this list, that's fine. You can talk about
Michael Zusak again, Michael Novick.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah, I think the key one, but I don't think it's really, we can deal with it very effectively in governance, is drops in listenership at all stations. And this is during the last 15 years, but it's not just the last 15, it's a continuing, ongoing drop in listenership. I think that's the fundamental problem of Pacifica. It's the source of the financial problems and everything else. So I'm not sure that the particular solutions here about board members not protecting current shows, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think management is as likely to protect current shows as board members, in my experience. But I will say that at KPFK, I know I just checked on the quorum for this election, and it's 1320, meaning that we have 13,200 listener members. And that's down, I'd say, at least 1,000 or more just from last year. So I think that really any changes we make to the bylaws or anything else have to focus on that issue about how to improve our programming and increase our listenership, because otherwise we're going down the tubes.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you or anybody else has suggestions for fixes, yeah, I can add them. You know, some of these fixes different people sent in, and some of them are even mutually exclusive. They're contradictory, but that's okay. I'm just trying to list them all. But, and maybe this isn't something the governance directly can fix, except to provide a environment or whatever, so that to help facilitate getting more listeners. But it is a big, serious problem, an underlying problem. It also relates to our revenue issues.
This is Grace. Yeah, I have a comment. Sorry,
yeah. I'm okay, Grace.
So dominant.
Let me just see if anybody else hasn't spoken.
Oh, yeah.
Wants to speak.
Sure, of course.
Anybody else?
No, I'm just listening, but please continue.
Okay, who's that?
I'm listening also.
Yeah. That was Noni from KPFA.
Oh, Noni, okay. I thought maybe it was somebody that just joined us. Okay. All right, well, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, yeah. Eileen and I were talking about this earlier. To a large degree, our local station boards have not been adequately fulfilling the powers and duties of the local boards in terms of evaluating the program director and the general manager at least annually. This has led to hamstringing general managers and forcing them to hire interims, and keeping the interims on too long, because if they have a decently performing interim, a general manager doesn't have the power to hire a permanent program director, for instance. And an executive director doesn't have the power to hire a permanent general manager. So our boards need to function better to evaluate program directors and general managers in a timely manner, and then if we have interims in those positions, to do the search for permanent program directors and permanent general managers efficiently and quickly, more rapidly than we've been doing it. And this is a deficiency. We might want to put something in the bylaws saying that if local station board members should resign if they don't do this, this, and this, and this, if the board, you know, because this kind of thing hamstrings the governance of the, management of the stations to some extent. So we need to ensure that our boards are fulfilling the powers and duties that are granted to them and somehow enforce them, maybe from the national level. The PNB should be ensuring that the local boards do all those things in the powers and duties in the bylaws.
Okay. Yeah, enforcement's always tricky. But a good point. Other people.
By the way, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead, Hockey.
I did time check. We spent 20 minutes now so on this, so just as a reminder.
Thank you. So shall we move on? Sounds like we're about talked out on this. Status of email list for the committee. Hockey, you want to give us an update on that?
Yeah. What I did was that I resend an invite to everybody again, but I haven't received any response. So if you don't mind, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let all of the people on the listserv, and if you don't want to be on it, you can just simply, cancel out. So instead of me waiting for people to respond, I'm just going to add everybody on, and if whoever strongly doesn't want to get on can just simply, unsubscribe. So that's what I'll do.
May I ask a question, James?
Okay,
I think I may have gotten that, but I didn't recognize what it was. I mean, it obviously seemed to be something from Pacifica, but I didn't open it because I didn't recognize it. Can you describe to me what it would have looked like in the inbox?
Oh, you'd been from a Google Groups, pnb.com Google Groups, and that'll be the sender, I think.
Got it. Thank you.
But anyway,
signed up.
Okay.
What was that, Mike?
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to add everybody on, and then whoever duty doesn't want to be on the list, so can just simply unsubscribe. That'll be easier.
Okay. How many people have already accepted the invitation and are on it?
Well, out of the 15... I only had 7 people sign on, 8 people didn't, and then I guess from what I hear now, 2 more people accepted, but I'll just add everybody on, so we don't have to wait around.
Okay. It would make it easier when we're sending out meeting notices or sharing files or things like that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I don't even remember if I accept the invitation. I guess that was, a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I think people get too many emails, and I don't blame people for, not knowing what it is.
I think I did it, but I'm not sure. Okay. Anybody have questions about that or suggestions?
James, again, if I may?
Okay.
I just wanted to tell Aki, I just, by Googling your name, I came up with that. And how it looked in the inbox, and it just says PNBGOVCOM with no dots. So when I didn't recognize that, I didn't open it, and now I realize I should have.
Okay.
Is that the subject line or from? James?
What's that?
Was that in the subject line or the from field?
It was from the from field.
Okay. So look for that. All right. Any other comments, questions? New business?
Lewis Wolf, I have a question.
Yeah, Lewis, go ahead.
I know there was discussion which was raised originally by, I think, Jim Dingaman for, I'm trying to come up with the language of this. It was for language or to prevent what was described as either, unusual or, I have to find it in my email, unusual language or not any of the seven dirty words, but I'm talking about controversial issues. That was the word that he used, and it was about setting up what was called a cart, a prescribed language cart. Can anyone help me on this? I can't find it in my emails. I think. Give me a minute here.
Lou? Are you talking about disclaimers? Lou, is that what you're?
Yeah, that it was about disclaimer, the need for disclaimer carts, and I understand and agree that we need to protect ourselves, our stations, in this way. But my beef was with the specific language that Mr. Dingaman proposed. And if I can find it, I'll quote from it. Otherwise, we can go on. I'm sorry, I wasn't ready for this to come up right now. Why don't you move on, and I can come back if you're willing.
Okay, are any of you on the programming committee? Because that might be good to talk about it there. And maybe that's where it came from. I don't remember.
Yes, it came from the programming committee. I think it's an excellent idea. We should absolutely have disclaimers.
I agree.
It passed the programming committee, but I don't remember the wording, but maybe the wording needs to be looked at and used at and some sort of wording, crafted by the executive director or one general manager to be shared by all the general managers or something. I don't know.
I think I remember it. I think it and several other motions from the program committee went to the PNB and were sent back to the committee for rewording, but I forget exactly. But if you have suggestions on that, Lewis, are you on that committee also, programming?
No, I'm not part of the programming committee.
Okay.
I'm very active in the LSB, in our local station board here in Washington. And this
you could send it to us or send it to whoever else is from your stations on the programming committee if you have suggestions for the wording, because we need something that's workable. I think I remember something about, regular disclaimers saying that things you hear on the air might not necessarily be the point of view of the station or Pacifica. Was that right? Something to that effect? So that if we're interviewing a guest, for example, they might not necessarily be... we don't want to censor them. We want to invite, just different people to talk about different points of view, but they might not necessarily be talking about or taking the position of the station. I think that's kind of implicit. I mean, TV stations even do that a lot, too, without running disclaimer cards. But if you feel we need one, just make sure it gets into that committee.
Well, the language disturbed me, and I wish I could pull it up right now and we could talk about it, but I don't have it handy. I will send this in, but my question was specifically, has this issue been resolved or addressed yet, or is it still up?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
The PNB hasn't. I don't think the PNB's approved anything on it. Unless they did a number of years back, and I don't know about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other new business?
This is Grace.
Okay, Grace.
I'd like to have people on this committee from the various LSBs talk about how their governance is going, and what they think needs to be improved, I'm interested in the functioning of the LSPs across the network and what the problems are and what the pluses are as well, if that's possible.
Sounds like a good idea.
I'd like to share that.
Anybody, any objections? Any little time on that?
Tonight.
Yeah. Okay, I don't hear anybody objecting. So, Aki?
Yeah, I would say that one of the things that we notice is that we're talking about, you know, doing the due diligence of LSP is the annual review of the GM and PD, and I think we're sort of deficient on that. So anyway, this in our station is one of the items.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk about anything?
Yeah, I would like to talk about the governance.
Okay. Venetia?
So I don't even know where to begin. Our governance is not working. We have people on the board who are not supposed to be on the board. I can send the committee an email from former PNB member Adriana Casanave, if you'd like, that explains who is on the board that shouldn't be there and why. We have had our previous manager was just demoted. No one on the board knew about it, except for a handful of white people, a very small handful of white people. Our governance is very, very messed up at KPFT. There's so much more to it than that.
Okay.
We have our chair and yourself, Bill Crozier, tried to remove me and other members who are elected staff representatives. You were told that you can't do that. Our governance is really effed up at KPFT.
Okay. Anybody want to talk about how things are going at your station?
Does anyone have any questions for me first before I'm done?
I do. This is Eileen.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eileen.
Do you see any path to putting affairs in order there? Venetia, right?
Yes. Perhaps reaching out to the PNB. I'm not really sure. Because, again, we have members who are being allowed to sit at the table and who are voting who are not duly elected. They are not supposed to be there. There's two members who, like, they have the same seat. Do you see what I'm saying? They're sitting for the same seat, but they're two individual members.
There have been rumblings. You've heard that it's very complicated there. I was just wondering if there's any hope for resolution or compromise at some point, or I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it because I'm being told that I'm being slanderous when I speak the truth. Again, one of the biggest issues recently, like all of these are massive issues, but one of the other massive issues was our manager being supposedly demoted with no one on the board knowing, with absolutely no one knowing that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what. I mean, the path should be this committee, right?
This committee is mostly for governance, like bylaws or standing rules or special rules and things like that. But other people want to address this issue about how things are going at your station, how your LSPs are functioning?
Well, I'd like to respond to a governance issue that Venetia brought up.
Okay. Go ahead, Grace.
As the interim executive director and any interim executive director or interim executive director has the right and duty to remove and replace any other interim general manager. And a general manager has the right and duty, if necessary, to remove or replace an interim program director. An interim is an interim. It's the responsibility of the local board to do a proper and thorough search for a permanent program director, as stated in the bylaws, and also for a permanent general manager. Failing that, the local board does not have any authority over the general manager replacing, demoting, removing a program director, an interim program director, or the ED replacing, demoting, or removing an interim general manager. So the local boards need to ensure that they do the proper search procedures so that the executive director has a pool of candidates to select a general manager, permanent general manager from, and also a proper search on the local level for a program director if there is no permanent program director.
So you're telling me that it's ethically right and business-wise it is proper to not let the board know that the manager was fired? Like no one knew.
Finish, please.
Okay. I'm just telling you that what the situation is, there's no provision in the bylaws to deal with interims. Interims are an emergency appointment for a short-term position, and that's the executive director has that power when it comes to interim hiring an interim general manager, and the general manager has that power when it comes to hiring an interim program director as needed. So, however, that can be changed by the local board taking advantage of their powers as a local board to search for, in the case of KPFT, a permanent general manager and a permanent program director. So the board should form, any board across the station, if you have an interim general manager or an interim program director, understand that it's your responsibility to form a committee to proper search for permanent people for those positions.
Yeah, I disagree with what Venetia said, but I can't talk about personnel-related things.
I'd like to respond.
Okay, give me brief though, because
for years been trying to find a permanent general manager. They have been following the process. It's the national board and the white people on KPFT who are trying to keep control of KPFT who have stopped the process. We have been following the process.
Well, I'll disagree with that, but let's let some other people
talk. Well, you can disagree, though, but you're one of the white people that's controlling the board.
Okay, point of order. Point of order. Disparagement in that way is out of order per Robert's rules. I would please ask that the member be told that it's out of order to make accusations of that nature.
Point well taken, Grace.
Well, it's an accusation I can prove.
Well, right now we're trying to discuss things that are the various stations, how the LSPs are functioning. That was what was asked, and I want to give other people on other stations an opportunity to respond, and I don't think it's particularly productive for us to get into an argument about KPFT. Other people want to talk about your LSP?
Michael Novick to the stack, KPFK.
Okay, Michael.
Well, the board is finally moving on holding a town hall. Bylaws requires that we hold two a year, and there haven't been any for a while. So we are moving on that. But I think that there have been restrictions placed really on participation of non-LSB members on LSB committees that I think interfere with people's participation on those committees and the feedback they could give to the LSB or support they could give to the LSB. So I think that's a problem in our governance.
What kind of restrictions?
People have to be voted on to the committee by a vote of the committee. And that was a new requirement put in by the LSB. Hadn't previously been the case.
So the people currently on the committee have to vote on new members?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a standing rule or special order or something that covers that?
I think the LSB passed a rule about it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Okay, Bill?
All right. Yeah, Aki?
Bill? So it's been 15 minutes so far, so just let you know.
Okay, thanks. Well, is it okay if we continue just a few minutes to see if people from any other stations want to say anything? Any objections? Just for a few more minutes?
Oh, I could speak to WBAI.
Okay, well, I don't hear any objections, so go ahead, James.
We're all hearing our first, we're also having our first attempt at a town hall meeting in quite some time. And we're hoping to have two per the bylaws. That's in the works. And we're also trying to I've forgotten my train of thought. The last topic that we were discussing, with one of the other people was mentioning that they were going ahead with on their board. Trying to find a permanent program director. We're not having any progress on that. And again, I think it's because of what Grace described. We've got an interim who's the general manager is happy with. So the search has slowed down or stopped. There is some talk about reviving it. And the other thing was the general manager's evaluation. We did have an attempt at that, but then we had an issue with our board, which was meeting without a quorum due to disputes over who was a member and who wasn't. And that process also stopped. So we had a report, but I don't think it was ever made generally available to the board. We are now in the process. We have a new committee, and they are now newly evaluating the general manager.
Okay. Thank you. That's a committee for the management review you're talking about?
For the general manager review, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see who else. WPFW?
I could say a few words, and maybe Lou can help me too. But
wait, Eileen.
Our LSD has been working relatively well, I think, in many ways. The new chair and vice chair have been very active. And one thing that's really been great has been the sort of reconnection and reactivation of the CAB, the CAB. Partly because we needed to do that to comply with CPB requirements, but also because they are part of the community that we need to hear from. So that's been going well and steadily. So I think that's a big achievement because it really fell by the wayside for a number of years. We have a number of other committees that do meet with varying degrees of actual activity and success. But I think things are going in the right direction in terms of the LSB functioning for the most part. Lou, do you want to add anything there?
Well, one of the things that I think we are trying to make happen is to broaden our listenership. And, in other words, not to speak to the choir. We're trying to reach out more widely. And I think we have achieved that, and not enough quite yet, certainly not. But we're hearing from new people and a lot more young people than we have before. This is a major achievement, I feel. That's what I can say.
Okay, thank you. If you have any ideas for increasing listenership, please share them with other stations.
Yeah, right.
guess we all need to do that. Okay, we're out of time, I guess, for this. Let's see, action items. Do we have any? Aki, did you note anything?
No, I don't. I think most of the stuff is taken care of, too.
I guess I'd just ask anybody, that any of you have any other suggestions for either problems for whether our governance or possible fixes, send them in, and I'll add them to the list. We need to pick a meeting date for the next time. You know, we decided a month or two ago to on the fourth Wednesday, and I posted that for the next few times, but I think I mentioned this right after our last meeting. I emailed that there was another committee that had already scheduled a meeting then. So we should try to do it a different day or time.
Well, Thursday, 26th is open.
I'm in a meeting.
So Thursday, the September 26th?
Is open, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the PNB meets on Thursdays, so, and it's hard to know when they're going to come up, but we're trying to have fewer meetings.
I actually want to talk about something before we adjourn.
Okay, well, let's decide on the date, though, first. Okay. The 23rd is also open that week. That's a Monday.
Right.
Or Monday or Tuesday, you're open the week before.
I could do the Monday. I couldn't do the Thursday. This is Noni, so I'm kidding.
Noni, okay. So the 23rd?
Yeah, Monday. Okay.
Yes.
Lewis,
any objections to that?
Not to worry, but
I'll just
somebody's trying to speak. I'm not sure who it is. So somebody said not to worry.
You see, I'll be out of town on that day. Sorry.
On the 23rd? Yeah. Can you call in from where?
Do it and without me. That's fine.
Okay.
Right. Well, if you're not on a plane or something, you can call in from wherever you are.
Eileen to the staff.
Okay, Eileen.
Yeah, just it's not impossible that there would be an audit committee that meeting that evening, that Monday. But because we still aren't sure when the draft of the 2018 audit will be ready. So, you know, that's going to take precedence over everything else for me. And possibly who else is on that committee from here? Grace is there. Anybody else on the audit committee in here? Here, just so you know. But, you know, again, not everybody can always be at every meeting, right?
I think James, or, oh, no, I think you're
no, he isn't on it.
Finance?
He's not.
No.
Yeah, I used to be on audit. Now I'm on finance.
Oh,
I can't be on both.
Okay.
Yes, he left us.
Well, if you want to start on Thursday, the 26th, you know, we can just try to avoid having a PNB meeting then, but no guarantees if something urgent and important comes up,
right,
like approving an audit. Or
there you go,
that.
See?
So let's see, how
we
many
don't
people,
know what, yeah.
Somebody else had a problem with the 26th also. Was that Noni? Or will somebody want to make a motion for one day or the other or another day? There's also Tuesday the 17th. Mm-hmm. Nobody's scheduled then.
Right.
That's how it's safer, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's no order that there's no PNB, so.
Yeah.
That would be fine with me.
Okay, so we'll set up a Tuesday the 17th, and then we'll go from there. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Great. All right. Let's see. I forget. Did somebody else say they had something else? We're almost out of time.
I did, and I think someone else did, too.
Okay. Who was first? I don't remember. Lewis, were you trying to bring up something?
No, I already did about the disclaimer cards. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, Fiducia?
So we're violating the bylaws at KPFT We haven't had any on-air carts this year. We had candidate forums done, but they don't work.
So the carts, you're talking about candidate carts?
Yes, and also we have no, I don't know what the word is, but we are supposed to have listeners calling in and stuff like that. We're not doing that at KPFT.
Okay. Are other stations having candidate carts being played?
No, BAI is not. They made video clips that they attached to the ballots, but there's no on-air carts being played.
We don't have either. We had video clips made, but they're not working. So we don't have on-air carts. We don't have videos either. We don't have the listener call-in.
Okay.
Are the video clips working on the elections.pacifica.org website?
I believe so.
For KPFT?
Oh, that I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I've seen them. Not everybody came for the forums that were video recorded, but the ones that came, I think.
Well, I don't know if you checked earlier and now they're not working or what, but they didn't work when I checked. From the social media source.
And which Michael? Adler?
Michael Novick, KPFK.
Novick. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, there was a lot of problems here of a similar nature. There was very little notice given to the candidates about the possibility of even coming in for the video. I think only about 9 candidates actually showed up. Many people could not, were out of town before the notice even went out that the meetings were happening, that the tapings were happening. One of the tapings conflicted with a PMB meeting. So I think that was a big problem. I think the bigger problem is that the NES says the PNB approved not having on-air forums. And if that's, I don't believe that's the case. I understood the PNB pointed out that the bylaws require on-air candidate forums that allow for live listener call-ins to question the candidate.
Well, if you could forward whatever the NES, could you forward whatever the NES had to the PNB?
I kind of missed what you were saying. Did you say that the videos are working?
Somebody talking to me?
My name is Nancy.
Whoever the last speaker was, I didn't quite hear everything you said, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Michael.
This is Michael Novick. I said that we have the same problems at KPFK. Only about 9 candidates even got videos. So those 9 candidates have been posted on the internet, but none of the other candidates were able to participate. The taping was not well noticed. Many people were out of town and had no further opportunity. One of the opportunities to be in the taping conflicted with the PNB meeting, eliminating candidates who are already on the PNB. But the bigger problem to me is that the bylaws require on-air candidate forums where listeners can ask questions live on the air. And the PNB, as my recollection, reiterated that that's the requirement. The NES is now saying that the PNB and the ED signed off on her plan to not have any of that.
Said that we do not need to have the on-air forums.
Let Michael.
The NES was asked about on-air forums, and her response was that the PNB approved her plan to have nothing on air but generic announcements of the election. There are no on-air forums at KPFK. There are no on-air candidate cards. Everything is online. And
is that not a violation of our bylaws?
I understand that's a violation of bylaws. That's why I'm raising it.
Okay. My suggestion is, could you forward whatever responses you, the question, whatever you sent to the NES, and the reply back to the PNB so we can see?
Yes, I will.
What she said. Okay.
I have some information.
Okay, go ahead, Grace.
ElectionSouthPacifica.org does have the KPFC online forums, and they're working for Deb Shafto, Rick Potoff, Anissa Faruqi, Raka Ghosh, and the staff forums also. I don't see. But I believe that there are more than one. Oh, no. Rick Potoff, Robert Gartner, Venetia Williams, Ted Weisskall, Paula Miller, and also Deb Shafto, Richard Uzel, Anissa Faruqi, Nancy Saibar and Aratomi, Susie Marino, Raka Ghosh. They're all up on the elections.pacifica.org, and you can click on it, and it goes to the video.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, did you see my name on there? Because I'm not even up for elections this year.
No, is your name Venetia Williams?
Oh, I didn't hear Williams. I'm sorry, no.
That's a different
person. Yeah, I think it's Venetia Williams, yeah.
Right, there's two Venetias.
But I don't know if they're on your KPFT website, but they are on, the National Election Supervisor did put them on elections.pacifica.org.
Last time I checked, they didn't work, though. I don't know about the other ones, but the KPFT ones didn't work.
It's working today, though.
Yeah,
I checked them a couple of weeks ago, and they were working. I don't remember exactly when.
Yeah.
I checked them recently, a few days ago.
This one's working. Anissa Faruqi and Nancy Saibar and Aratomi. There we go. There's Nancy. And all the stations in our property. Can you hear it?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
That's fine. All right.
So let me just say one of the Aki, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I just know that, I know what the bylaws do say, that we should have listener call-ins, but the bylaws also require all the, to be fair to all candidates. And what's happened in the past, and I've heard this complaint from a number of people, is that some candidates would get their friends to call in and ask slanted questions that only one candidate could answer adequately, or to embarrass other people or to slander other people. And especially when it's live, it's really hard to control that. So I don't know if that was one of the reasons why they didn't do it in the past, but I know that that sort of thing has generated a lot of complaints in the past when it's happened, because there's an obligation of the bylaws to be fair to all the candidates also, and you kind of lose control of it when somebody can call in and say anything they want. So that's just the other point of view. Okay, we're almost out of time, but, send anything you have.
I don't work. I just checked the videos. They don't work.
Yeah. And they work?
They work for me.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I guess we'll see you all on Tuesday, September 17th. Anything else before we adjourn?
Thank you, Otis.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
May I add one thing first?
Okay, James.
This goes back to the invitations to join the mailing list. I just wanted to say for Aki's benefit that I did find his July 23rd invitation to join, but it expired. So if he wants to just use, just make his list from our emails, that's fine. He can use the email I sent him for the list. But if he wants to reissue the invitation, he might get other, also get
okay.
Responses.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
James, moves to adjourn. Any objections? Hearing none, then we're adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.